anytime. Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to The Shaw.
WSUK 540 News on the hour. Presented by Indeed.com.
And always streaming on the
Lynn.
Civic Media app.
The conditions at Gaza's main hospital are said to be awful and just getting worse. BBC correspondent Frank Gardner is in Jerusalem.
WHO convoy that was a joint one with the UN. They went up to Shifa Hospital yesterday, and it's described as a bloodbath there, with people with terrible injuries, people, doctors, nurses, having to step over, not bodies, but some living, some not, on the floor. So it's horrific conditions, and that, I think, has prompted David Cameron, Britain's foreign secretary, to write this joint op-ed article with his German counterpart, Annalena Baerbock, in which they are calling for a sustainable ceasefire leading to a sustainable peace.
As the humanitarian crisis deepens, Congress is still at a standstill on getting an aid package signed, sealed, and delivered. Here's CBS's Matt Piper.
President Biden's been urging lawmakers to pass an aid package that provides $50 billion for Ukraine and $14 billion for Israel for their wars. But Republicans have been saying they'll only vote for that aid if it's paired with new controls at the U.S.-Mexico border. Democrats are not on board with some White House proposals like deportations and limiting access to U.S. asylum.
Off to Seoul and reporter Alex Jensen on concerns with North Korea's weapons program.
North Korean state media was full of praise Sunday local time for leader Kim Jong-un's great national achievement of developing the North as a nuclear weapon state. But just hours earlier, a joint statement from the US and South Korea warned a nuclear attack against either of them would result in the end of Kim's regime.
Will snow get you in the holiday spirit? Well, East Coasters, you're not going to get it, but you will get wet. Meteorologist Brian Hurley with the National Weather Service on the Nor'easter.
It's so unusual in the sense that it is warm enough along the East Coast. It doesn't even start as snow or a mix. Perhaps a mix of sleet and rain and snow at the onset, late Sunday into northern New England. But outside of that, it's just a rainmaker.
They had some fake snow in San Francisco yesterday and were fully getting into the holiday spirit as the Bayview Opera House hosted its annual Winter Wonderland.
I love it. Like, it's just great seeing my community have so much fun because I don't get to see that a lot. But today is a very special day.
Kids got to eat s'mores, make ice sculptures, and build snowmen with plenty of the fake white stuff. Hey, this is your official reminder, only 8 days until Christmas. If you wanted to send gifts first class with the post office, you're late. For UPS Ground, the deadline is tomorrow. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Some days I cover up because of my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Now I'm hitting the road with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieved 90% clearer skin at 4 months. And Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News.
The Badgers volleyball season comes to an end. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Badgers women's volleyball team tied the match at 1 apiece, but the Texas Longhorns, who won the national championship last year, took over up 15-3 in the third set and never looked back. Texas advances to the NCAA finals on Sunday against Nebraska. Wisconsin returns home today with a final season record of 30 wins against just 4 losses. Men's college basketball, the Badgers with a win at home, 75-60 over Jacksonville State. NFL, the Packers have a problem. A.J. Dillon, their most productive running back this season, suffered a broken thumb in the loss to the Giants Monday night. It doesn't look good for Dillon to play Sunday against the Buccaneers.
If there is some hurt, not making it a bigger issue than it is down the road. And then the next question is, will I be able to go out there and positively impact the team with me being out there? And so, you know, we still got some days left in the week. And, you know, those questions I got to figure out myself.
That's Packers running back A.J. Dillon. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some fog early, cloudy skies, highs topping out in the upper 40s, light west winds. For your Sunday night, drizzle and then changing to a little bit of light snow, mostly cloudy skies, blustery winds out of the west, lows dropping to the upper 20s. It's 39 at our studios.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, didn't cut it, dude.
Because all the hippies are gonna be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Native news and events, and as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You are absolutely right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Support honest Native news and stories from Natives themselves. Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon.
Hey, Haley, can you see that I got my Wilma Mankiller Barbie in the mail today?
Oh, you know, I actually think I can see her behind you.
Yeah, there it is.
She looks great.
Yeah, definitely. And she was an activist leader. Wilma Mankiller was the first woman principal chief of the Cherokee Nation. And she's on a quarter, too. So we're totally excited to support that. And I bought that from Barbie, and here we are, be able to give it away someday. But it's something that's pretty darn awesome. Hey, speaking of darn awesome, we have Dr. Stately on today, and we're going to wear him out. We're going to have him in for a couple segments for sure. But before we get to Dr. Stately, why don't we get an update from Governor Evers of the great state of Wisconsin. Ho-wa.
Hey there, Native Roots Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update. Happy National Apprenticeship Week. Apprenticeship, as we know today, started right here in Wisconsin in 1911. Since then, our state's apprenticeship programs have enabled folks to earn while they learn with paid on-the-job training. With over 200 pathways in everything from healthcare to manufacturing to construction, our apprenticeship programs help folks start their careers in some of our state's most important industries and prepare them for 21st century family-supporting jobs. I'm proud to share that for the second year in a row, we've seen a record number of individuals enrolled in our registered and youth apprenticeship programs, with more than 16,000 registered apprentices in our state alone, breaking last year's 20-year high. We made smart investments to address our workforce challenges, expand access to worker training and apprenticeships, and reduce barriers to work for folks across the state. In the budget I signed this summer, builds on that work by providing another $7 million for our state's youth apprenticeship program. Folks, our state has faced significant workforce challenges for years. When you couple that with our historically low unemployment rate and record high workforce participation, we must do everything we can to recruit, train, and retain the next generation of workers. And that's exactly what we're going to keep doing. We'll keep working to maintain Wisconsin's positive economic momentum, strengthen partnerships with local employers that make these apprenticeship programs possible, and build the future we want for our workforce and for our state. Let's get to work, folks. Thanks for listening. Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio.
Thank you, Governor Evers, for that update. Hey, Haley, it's always good to hear from the governor and get his updates.
It is, yes. We're very thankful for Governor Tony Evers of Wisconsin.
Hey, speaking of a really big shot that we know, Dr. Stately's on, and he's in the bullpen. Let's grab him, and he's got some cool lighting, it looks like, and we have Dr. Stately, the CEO of Native American Community, Community Clinic, and good to see you, and good to hear from you.
Jeez, I just chewed you out the other day for saying the name of my organization wrong. The other day.
Who?
You. Remember at the, I know. At the Native Rise event? I was just teasing him.
I know. I'm pretending I don't remember that conversation. That was a good time, wasn't it?
It was awesome. It was really nice. I'm glad I went. I wasn't going to go, but because I got a ticket at the last minute. And, you know, it was a long week for me. My kids had hockey tryouts. So just every day racing back and forth, getting them from school, getting them to the rink, getting my tryouts, you know, I don't know, just, it was a long week. So I was like, I don't know if I want to go, but I went and I was really happy I did. I'm excited.
Yeah. I got there too, last minute invite, and, we should do that everything because we both had really good seats.
Yeah, that's going to be my new thing in 2024. I'm just going to crash all the parties. I'm not going to officially register.
Right.
I'm happy for you guys. I heard it was a fun time.
Yeah.
It was pretty awesome. It was pretty awesome. It was like really like it was a full house. You know, it was, and you know what was the best part? The best part was that they had that old, they had one of those old fashioned silent auctions. And, you know, I was intending to eat my dinner rapidly and go back to the auction right before it closed at 7:30. And here we weren't even getting our food until 7:30. So that plan got dashed. But this is the way you win those silent auctions. You wait until the last minute. You go around, you write your name at the last second as the bell is about to ring.
What did you get?
I didn't get anything. I won anything. I didn't go back. By the time they like served our food, it was already like 7:30. Like, I remember like Trish Cook saying something like right about the time the chicken came. I was like, you know, and you know, she's like, the silent auction is about to close. I was like, oh, well, there you go.
There was a dance after, right? Though too.
Yeah,
it was. There was actually, and I actually owe them a I owe them actually I should take care of that today. I owe the Dr. Boba and the OIC a donation. I walked up to Trish Cook. Remember those shoes she was wearing? They were like eight
yeah.
inch, whatever. Ridiculous, like, you know, like the, from the 80s or, you know, they're glam shoes anyway. I was like, I bet you can't dance in those things, can you? And she said, sure I can. I said, if you get out there and dance, I'll make a donation to OIC. And somebody, this other lady was, I'll match it. So I'm like, okay.
Well, I thought you owed them money because you went out there to dance and it was just...
Oh yeah, like I'm paying them what do you call it, for pain and suffering?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Here's my restitution. Sorry. Sorry for the damages.
Well, I've never been on the 50th floor of the IDS building in Minneapolis. That was scary for me. The older I get, Dr. Stately, the more I don't like heights. Isn't that crazy? And before, when I was younger, I didn't care.
Really? Huh.
Yeah, I was holding
like,
up the window.
Like, oh, were you like going up to the window looking out?
Yeah, and holding on to something so I wouldn't fall through, or I don't know.
What did you think was going to happen?
I didn't know.
Anyway, it's interesting. I too am not a big, huge fan of heights, but I've been on that. That was my second time up there. I went to the last time I was there was Thanksgiving Day, 14 years ago.
Wow.
So, yeah, I took my whole family, my kids, and everybody to Thanksgiving dinner up there. That was back when they had the restaurant operational. I don't think they have the restaurant operational anymore.
So. Well,
but it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that, and let's take a break. And I just have to say this about our lieutenant governor. Whenever she speaks, she inspires me, and I'm not even kidding. She is just funny.
She did. She did. Yeah.
She did a
phenomenal job that night, for sure.
Yeah.
I think, in fact, I was the only one that stood up and clapped, and I was like,
I wanted standing up. I couldn't get my camera fast enough to get a picture of you standing up, but I noticed that. But I started the standing ovation when she came in.
Nice.
Yeah, right. Hey, it's Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. We're here with Dr. Stately of Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, the CEO, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
The Shaw, W-A-U-K, The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Even Republican women, when they walk into that booth, that reversal of RVW is going to walk in with them, because that cuts to the very essence of what a woman is and what she can be and what she can decide. To speak in Wisconsin terminology, the reversal of Roe v. Wade is the right bower for Democrats. That's a Euchre reference.
That is spot on. You nailed it, John Roach, once again.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media Radio Station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Your soulmate is somebody who, when you get out of the McDonald's drive-thru, she'll do a picklectomy and take the pickles out of my cheeseburger and put extra pickles on hers.
I'm flummoxed, I'm flabbergasted, I'm quacking upset right now.
You're going to defend pickles?
Except for bread and butter pickles, those things are the devil.
Oh, see, now if I were going to try any of them, it would...
Come on!
And this is why Greg and I are not married.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is the Shaw, W-A-U-K.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. And we're here with the lead tradition guy, the CEO of Native American Community Clinic, Dr. Stately. And Dr. Stately, we were having a little audio problems here on my end, and you were a little distorted. So now I can have a coherent conversation with you. And one of the things... It was a great show, I thought, Native Rise, and it was a fundraiser, and we got to listen to one of the actors, Kara, who was in The Killers of the Flower Moon. Dr. Hobart spoke, and he was the head MC, Lieutenant Governor, and then this author that I've been playing tag with, who works for the Minneapolis paper, Eddie, he was awesome, and we're going to get him on the show really quick.
Chocolate?
Yeah.
Yeah. He interviewed me, I think it was probably maybe like 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, I think, around the time of the Wall of Forgotten Natives. So he's an excellent reporter. And I haven't gotten his book yet, but he should have brought his book to the event and like signed them. I haven't gotten his book yet, but I'm going to get it. I'm going to intend to read it. I'm actually on vacation. Which is something that hardly almost never happens. So I'm on vacation this week and next week, where I'm technically on vacation, meaning for a CEO, what that means is you're burning down your PTO. You're actually just not going in the office. But I've been working. I'm taking like the minimum number of meetings. But one of the things I want to do on my vacation, in addition to taking a really nice bath, the bubble bath I did today, which is nice, self-care. I'm going to go see a couple of movies that no one else wants to see, so I have to see them by myself. It's the perfect way to spend some time.
Which ones are those?
Yeah, which ones?
I'm going to go see Saltburn, which is supposed to be an amazing film. It's kind of like, it's hard to explain. It's about a sort of a, it takes place in England, and it's it has to do with like these two guys who are in college together. This very wealthy guy takes this his roommate or a friend of his from college back to his family's castle which is called Saltburn. Anyway, it's supposed to be amazing. It's by a director who I just really, really loved. Her last movie that I saw, A Most Promising Woman, which was also a remarkable film. But anyway, I go see that because it's a little bit, I don't know a lot of people that want to see it. So I'll go by myself, which is fine. And then there's a couple other ones I want to see. So, and I'm going to go to that film or that photography exhibit at the MIA probably like the day after Thanksgiving probably.
Yeah, I got to make it out there too. Maybe maybe we can try and go at the same time. One of the things that you just mentioned too, we both talk about this and sometimes really seriously over the show, and I really appreciate it, Dr. Stately, is our sobriety. And I know when I first sobered up, I was given advice like if you're not feeling good or something, do something different. And taking a bath was one of those things that really helped me. That was pretty interesting that you said that. I took a bath last night and usually shower, and it's changing up, but also self-care. And that made me think of that.
It's all about changing those neuro pathways that create habits and addictions and patterns that people tend to go back to. It's all about changing those neural pathways and creating better habits.
I remember when I, well, I won't tell people how I actually quit smoking because it's kind of a funny story, but I remember back in like 30 years ago when I first stopped smoking, how I would be like, oh, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And I remember somebody telling me like, well, do you smoke in the car when you go to work? And I was like, yeah, well, try not to smoke in the car. And I'm like, and it was remarkable. This actually changed for me. I stopped smoking in my car that time, but he was just like, it was a psychologist or a therapist, I was saying, he's like, just take a different route to work. Like you're so much of your pattern of like lighting up, sparking up your cigarette and like smoking while you're driving is as much of a, just a, a pattern of habit as it is anything else. It's like second thought, secondhand nature kind of thing. Which is interesting because when I noticed when I deliberately took a different route to work, which in Los Angeles is a big thing.
Yeah.
Because you never know, traffic is completely unpredictable. But it changed. Actually, I had to pay closer attention. I wasn't really like driving and forgetting how I got there, that kind of thing. Has that ever happened to anybody? It's like, I'm like, oh, I don't remember how I got here. And it's because you're driving the same way that you always get there. If it's something that you do repetitively, it's almost like you do it second without even thinking about it. So similarly, that's how you change some of those habits, is you with intention and kind of disrupt the pattern. You change the thing that you're doing to try to make yourself be more mindful and attentive to what you're doing. And that actually helps you to rewire your brain. Kind of a simple process, but sort of shortcut. It's probably easier than mindfulness.
Yeah. Well, that's what you were saying. That's what you were saying, Haley, about the rewiring. It takes 28 days to change a habit. That's why people go into treatment for 28 days.
Exactly. Yeah. And I get to be a part of the sober crew because I am sober from alcohol. I think I think I'm 280 days, so I'm waiting on my 1 year still, but we're going to get there.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
We'll give you a medallion. I got a whole bunch of them here. It might be a 32-year medallion, but I got one for you.
That's awesome.
Pina Gigi.
And you're young. You're getting sober when you're a fairly young person. I got sober when I was 23. It was tough because I didn't know a whole lot of people at that age that were drinking when I went to, or using substances. And when I went to meetings, that was filled with a bunch of old crotchety men who complained about their lives and like whined about everything. And that's my perception. And I remember having this thought where I was like, oh my God, if this is what it's going to be like to be sober, I think I'd rather be drunk kind of thing. I remember saying that to myself. But, you know, you have to like, somebody wise said to me, like, go to different meetings, go to like, you know, several different meetings till you find the one that you feel at home. And then you feel like you belong, like you fit. Cause you're not gonna find the right one right off the bat. Most of the time you won't. So, you could kind of just be open to exploring.
Right.
That's awesome. Congratulations, Haley.
There's 5,000 meetings in the Twin City area. And if you can't find one that fits, then it's hard. I know I was lucky. It was like the second wave of young people. And so I was hanging with a lot of young people when I sobered up. I also sobered up when I was 23. And that saved me. A friend of mine who went back out, I contact him every year. I just celebrated 39 years in November 9th, and thank him for saving my life. Because of what you're saying, Dr. Stately, it's like, is this going to be boring? I might as well go back to drink. And it wasn't. It was fun. We did a lot of the same things. And maybe the experts would have called that drunk behavior, but it still got me, just kept me sober.
Yeah, it's given me, you know, I know there's a lot of people that don't feel that AA works for them. And I certainly felt that way when I was like, I think I first went to AA when I was 17 or so, so between 17 and 23, I would go in and out of meetings and, you know, I had a lot of reasons for why it wouldn't work. And a lot of those were justifications as well. And I was telling somebody the other day, I was like, remember like when you, did you ever remember that experience when you would get so mad at somebody, you'd go out and get drunk at them? Like that was just a perpetual habit. It's like, I'm going to go get drunk at you because I'm so mad.
I'll show you.
Yeah, I'll show you.
I'll kill me.
Right. But it was like, it was hard and it was like, but I stuck with it because the alternative for me was, to not be around, right?
And right.
You know, I quit drinking on October 27th, 1985, and that was the day that was the last day I drank. And I wrapped my car around a light pole on the 29th in Lindale.
Jeez.
And almost died in that car accident. And so, you know, I woke up in the hospital the next day, and a little voice said to my ear, like, if you drink and again, you're going to die. And I believed it and I listened to it and I haven't taken another drink since. So.
Proud of you, Dr. Stately.
That's amazing. It's totally amazing. And I know I wouldn't be alive if I wouldn't have sobered up, and I'm 62 and a lot of our relatives have gone on because of trauma and drinking and, your inspiration and I appreciate you speaking your truth. Let's do another segment here. This one flew by and it was really good. So, hey, it usually is, right? Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately, CEO of Native American Community Clinic here in Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And we'll be right back after this short break, Haley.
Stay with us.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. At a rally in Tel Aviv, Israelis continue to demand the release of hostages held by Hamas.
I'm really worried about also the hostages and the soldiers, and it all feels a bit pointless at this point. So I believe that we should promote another deal of releasing hostages.
Lawmakers are trying to iron out a border security compromise. Republican presidential hopeful Ron DeSantis.
What's going on now at the border in particular has been a total train wreck.
Wet weather on the way for the East Coast. A nor'easter is moving through. Meteorologist Brian Hurley with the National Weather Service says expect heavy rain, high winds, and flooding.
From a freshwater flooding perspective, that potential is there. Whenever you put up to 3, maybe even some areas up to 4 inches of rain into the creeks or into the poor drainage areas.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacy Lynn.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The man who made a bomb threat to the state capitol building in 2018 has been sentenced to 3 years in prison. Terrence Grissom sent a letter to the Dane County District Attorney's office at the time saying there was a bomb in then-Governor Scott Walker's office. Grissom pled guilty to the charge earlier this month. Online shoppers should look out for scam artists. Courtney Ann Clam is a fraud expert with AARP Wisconsin. She says it's clear more people need to learn the red flags.
We talk about ads on social media. It's sometimes really difficult to discern if that's real or not. You know, the landscape is always shifting. People are maybe not keeping up as much as they should be on some of those new tactics.
She says only 28% passed a recent AARP quiz about warning signs for shopping and gift card scams. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Anybody who's ever breastfed a child knows that breast milk is liquid gold. Preserve it at all costs.
Oh, that's what Kristen talking about. Yeah. Freezing it, like pumping, freezing. She's like, I have bricks of it. I'm like, this sounds like a reboot of Breaking Bad. Like, this is.
In the breast
Breaking
milk.
Breast. Breaking, breaking breast.
Breaking breast. Well done.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Craigscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some fog early, cloudy skies, highs topping out in the upper 40s, light west winds. For your Sunday night, drizzle and then changing to a little bit of light snow, mostly cloudy skies, blustery winds out of the west, lows dropping to the upper 20s. It's 39 at our studios.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Earl Ingram was giving Thanksgiving turkey cooking tips. Apparently, if you use your thumb and put an imprint on the turkey breast, if it bounces back, it's fresh. If it doesn't, it's frozen.
If you see a guy wandering around a grocery store in Madison doing things to turkeys, you'll know who it is.
I just gotta find myself a freshie.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Shaw, WAUK.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor, but I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back. Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we're back here with Dr. Stately, CEO of Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities. Now you got me thinking, Dr. Stately, after you told me I kept on introducing you incorrectly. Now I'm like pausing The mind is a funny thing, isn't it?
That's a psychological strategy.
Strategy?
Just kidding.
Oh wow.
Hey. I don't know. I did what your aunties would do, is I chewed you out in front of a bunch of people.
And then we took a picture. Behavior.
Yeah.
And then we took a picture. I was the only one going, huh? But everyone else was smiling.
Yeah. Hey. It was a fun night. I thought it was really cool that Kara talked about her own experience of growing up with trauma and her own experiences of having, you know, she talked openly about having a mental health disorder, you know, struggling with bipolar disorder and depression.
Yeah.
Talked about how she used substances to sort of, basically treat herself, heal herself or manage her symptoms. And I love that when she was talking about hanging out with Leo, Bob, and who was the
Marty?
Oh yeah, Marty.
My buddy so Marty.
Funny. It's just like it's on a first name basis with all the big megastars. How she talked about, like, you know, I don't want this character to be like portrayed as a drunken Indian. I want her to be strong. I want her to exude, you know, like her drinking is a symptom of dealing with, you know, colonial impact, you know, trauma, all the trauma that's related to that, you know, all of the violence and the impact that had on her life. And I love that she talked about that, because that is, you know, something we don't even see a whole lot in modern conversations about Native people.
Right.
And,
we're talking about Kara Jade Myers, and she's played Anne Brown in the Martin Scorsese's Killers of the Flower Moon, and she was the guest speaker. And like you said, Dr. Stately, very powerful and you know, good messages. And geez, you know, this part of time of the year, with the sun going down and holidays coming, I mean, it's good to hear things like that.
Good reminders, right? Because this is a challenging time for a lot of our relatives, because we, we go into this time of year, it gets darker, and it's colder outside, so we kind of tend to stay indoors and hibernate, you know. We're doing the hibernation bit, so we're not being as social. but also, if we have histories or backgrounds of traumatic things in our lives or in our families or in our communities, those things can be triggers for us during this time. It's actually the worst time of year, and that's the worst time to sort of kind of be isolated and by yourself. So if it's a challenging time, try to spend some time with friends, go to movies, go to meetings, go to do something to kind of change up what you normally would do, and seek support and try to get, be around other people who will make you feel or help you to feel like you matter. Because sometimes we can get so down and depressed, like we feel like nobody cares, that we don't matter, right?
Yep. You know, that's something too that I was taught early on is, and I did that with friends in the beginning of my sobriety, is we'd go out and help, we'd help feed people and do things to make us feel useful and worthwhile. And those times that could be dark or you're used to doing destructive things during these holidays is go out and help somebody and don't be found out. That's what I was always told.
Yeah, it's a good practice. You know, these are the things that we were given to us anyway, original instructions, right? Be a good neighbor to each other, be a good relative, take care of others. If you take care of others, you'll be taken care of as well. And it's also, so I try to like remember those things. I've this week I will do things to be around other people, because I won't be able to be with some of my family, and I'll be here at home with my sons, who I can't ever go anywhere. I can't ever travel on Thanksgiving, that Thanksgiving weekend, because they're hockey players. And, you know, I don't, for whatever reason, Minnesotans are crazy. They have Thanksgiving and then they start playing hockey the day after Thanksgiving for 4 days straight, which is just kind of crazy making, I think. So,
Dr. Stately, were you a skier, a downhill skier at any time in your life?
Never. I've cross country skied. Downhill skiing looks really dangerous, and it looks like, and I don't know, just call me crazy, but if Creator wanted me to go downhill skiing, but I would have been born with logs attached to my feet.
Yeah. Well, I used to go skiing every Thanksgiving, and look at where we're at right now. It's like 50 degrees out and global warming's happening.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. I mean, I remember having the big meal and going to the slopes, Afton Alps and all those slopes when I was young and agile. Now I break a hip, of course. I don't do that. But it's just the weather has changed, too. It made me think about that.
I'll hit the slopes for you,
Dega. Oh, Haley, the young one will hit the slopes. Make sure you wear a helmet because I need you.
Where are you going to go skiing at?
I grew up, you know, in junior high, I was in ski club, so we always went to Wild Mountain. I grew up in Forest Lake, so just north of the Twin Cities area. So we would go to Wild Mountain a lot, in Taylor's Falls, or Trollhagen was another big one, but that's out in Wisconsin.
Well, we're broadcast in Wisconsin, too, on 20 stations in the Civic Media Network. I just wanted to throw that out there. Oh, wow.
Yeah, who knows when the snow is going to come.
When I used to live in L.A., I'd tell people, like, about, you know, the mountains we had, Afton Hills and the mountains we had in Minnesota to ski on, there, and they would just kind of chuckle at me. Like, oh, those are not mountains. Mountains, Josh.
They're called mountains.
I just watched that new documentary that came out on Netflix about the ski resort, the Aspen one in around Lake Tahoe. Avalanche killed those people. Wow, I never knew about that. Do you know about that, Dega?
Yes, I do. I lived through it. I lived through history. That's why I was so good going back to school, especially when I was taking history classes. Like, I lived through it so I could write. I didn't have to study. Oh,
he taught history from a first person experience.
Yeah. Me and Teddy Roosevelt, the Rough Rider. Jeez.
You and Teddy Roosevelt. Right. His wife, Eleanor.
No, that was Franklin. Franklin.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the different Roosevelt.
That was Teddy's niece.
Yeah, Teddy was like in the 1800s, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was president in 1901. But he saved all the parks out there, which was pretty amazing. But it's weird; those guys came over. I was reading an article; they came over in the Mayflower, their family, and here's Franklin Roosevelt like marrying his second cousin, which is just totally bizarre to me. But
it's a little Appalachian. Oh, sorry. Did I say that?
Oh, where's my ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding?
Or, you know, actually, well, it's like, you know, I don't know. I know some Indians that have done that, you know.
Yeah.
They've married their cousins, or they've, like, maybe not married them, they had children with them, you know. It reminds me of that movie from Mean Girls. Remember that movie Mean Girls?
Yeah.
You got your cousins, then you got your second cousins, then you got your kissing cousins.
Jeez.
Oh yeah, Karen.
Yes, Karen. Yeah. God. The one that knows has ESPN. That one,
ESPN. My favorite movie.
Yeah, well written. Yeah. Definitely well acted. What else is there? Helplines or what can
how there
can
are we there are and one one of the things I would say is that what you would do is, like, if you were struggling and you were thinking. Specifically, if you're thinking like suicidal thoughts, like now nationwide, there is now the 988 number.
Right.
So 988, you would get connected with a live person to talk to and get some support and some help. And I think one of the things I was actually on a national call not too long ago with Indian Country News, I think, Native, whatever it is called, Native American Calling. We're talking about suicidality and such. And one of the things that I kind of like always take the time to remind people of is that suicide, by and large, while Native people, and it isn't true of all Native nations, but across the United States, we have a significantly higher rate of suicide than other communities. Some of that has, I think, to do with, like, specifically within like tribal communities where there's like nations where there's large disparate or the people are dispersed all over the place and there's not anybody that you can kind of get to easily and you can't spend time with each other or find a resource. They're like rural desolate areas. So having a national call line that you can call would be really helpful. But also, like, you know, there's online on Facebook and a bunch of other social media platforms, there's ways, there's groups that you can kind of connect with that are, you know, support groups for people who are living in situations where they don't have a lot of access. Maybe they don't live in a big city or a town where there's resources, but they will be able to connect with people online. So looking for those things is really important. And if it's something that you notice that you kind of fairly regularly, consistently have this experience where you're feeling so down, so depressed and suicidal and having thoughts of harming yourself, reach out and talk to somebody and let them know and say that I need to talk to somebody because I feel like I'm going to kill myself or hurt myself. And if you're the person that's on the other end of that, take that statement serious and take action. So, and there's lots of resources online for that.
Well, there's Strong Hearts Native Helpline, too, that I just want to give out. So that number, too, they are 24/7. You can call, text, or chat them, Strong Hearts Native Helpline, at 1-844-7-NATIVE. That's 1-844-762-8483. Or chat online at www.strongheartshelpline.org.
Right on. Hey, we'll be right back. We're here with Dr. Stately, and we'll be right back.
This is the Shaw, WAUK. The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Box Mike. Friday nights at 7 on the Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately, CEO of Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, and we're just having our Monday chit-chat and talking real and talking about real issues and real things in a fun way. We're going to have Gary Farmer on next week, Dr. Stately, and it's fun to have
really?
Gary. Well, now the strike's over, we can reach out to our actor friends and have him come on and talk about their projects in the past and future. And he's a big time musician too, so we'll be talking a lot about his music.
Yeah, but, he's awesome. He's a great actor.
Yeah. Yeah. We just We just watched Smoke Signals, probably me for my 100th time, but Haley and I just last
night. Oh, my God. I love that movie.
Yeah.
It was good. I cried.
You know, I had to watch that movie like 3 or 4 times before I realized, like, you know, that line that he says in the movie where he's like.
Yep. I know what you're going to say. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Like, or that line where he goes, like,
I didn't mean to.
And I was like, so I missed the sort of the subcontext there a couple of times. And I was like, oh, because I was like, yeah. Anyway, I was like, wow, I'm really thick. I didn't catch that the first time.
That was funny. Yeah, it just to set everybody up. And Haley thought it was cool too. And it sounds like you're eating cashews over there, Dr. Stately. And I think our radio fans are loving it. Hey, he saved Thomas, threw him out the window and saved him. And his grandmother came up to him and said, you saved Thomas. You did a good thing. And he said, I didn't mean to. And at the time, it's a funny line because that's a weird way to answer it. But then we find out later that he set the fire. So it's like.
Yeah, an accident. Yeah, that's crazy. Anyway,
I know.
Well, I didn't put those two things together until I saw it, like, I think the third or fourth time. But I remember when I first saw that movie, I saw it at whatever the theater was on Lake Street and Lindale. There was like a little art house theater there way back in the day. This was back in like the, I probably would think like the
came out in 98.
So that's probably like when I saw it. And I went to see it with my nieces, Natchez and Deanna, my brother Charlie's daughters. Mm-hmm. I took them. It's home for Thanksgiving, I think, and we went to go see it. And we're sitting in the theater. And, you know, it was uptown. So, like, there wasn't a lot of Native people in that audience. There was, like, us and a couple of, you know, cool hipsters from the uptown and a bunch of other, like, white people. And at one point, I realized, like, me and my nieces are the only ones that are laughing there every 3 minutes because we're getting the humor, right? Right. And I was just thinking about how, you know, when you were talking about Gary Farmer and his role in Res Dogs, about like how that sort of like seems to have changed over the last 20, 30 years is that, you know, we have so much more more Native art, Native movies, and Native TV shows, and we have so much more happening in that space that it seems like more white people get our humor now. You know, we're making such an impact on the social sort of the social context in so many ways, like mostly through social media, probably those kinds of things that right. they're getting what we mean when we say the kinds of things that we say.
Well, right. Like the Res car, Dr. Stately, it took me many times to see the movie before I realized that same person that was in the car was on Northern Exposure for 9 years. I just didn't put 2 and 2 together for some odd reason. Mm-hmm. And that was a great show back in the day about Alaska. And she was the only Alaskan native on the show, but she was on every show.
Yeah. Do you watch, speaking of natives in Alaska, do you watch Alaska Daily at
no,
all?
No.
It's a movie that stars Hilary Swank. And a number of Native actors. It's about a newspaper.
TV show. Yeah. It was. Yeah. It's canceled, but it's on only a year. Yeah.
I know. I'm so upset that it was canceled because I really like that show a lot. And, you know, they were taking MMIW head on in that movie or in that TV show. Yeah.
And here's another smoke signals thing. We had, I can't think of his name, Gray Eyes. We had him on Native Roots Radio, and when he was the head casino guy on Rutherford Falls. And I did not realize that he was in a scene in Smoke Signals when they were playing basketball in the beginning. He was one of the basketball players, and they were talking about who's your favorite Indian basketball, or who's your favorite Indian is what he said.
All those guys. And then one of the things I liked about Flowers, the Killers of the Flower Moon, is that Tatanka Munson is in it.
Yeah.
I kind of met him a few times, and My nephew Ruben knows him really well. And so, like, we're sitting in the movie, and all of a sudden, I'm like, and again, when we went to go see Killers of the Flower Moon, it was like, you know, 9 o'clock at night on like a Wednesday, and it's a 3-hour movie, so there's like nobody in the theater but me and my sister, and like maybe one other person. And I'm like, oh my god, look at Tupac Amin, dude, that's him. The other FBI agent guy. So, yeah,
he was prominent in the book. He was talked about in the book quite a bit, that character.
Yeah, I would tell people, like, if you saw the movie and you love the movie, I'd go back and read the book, because the book was really quite good. I read that book in 3 days. That first week I was sick with COVID, and I read it like in 3 days. So, yeah. Oh.
So, Dr. Stately, it's that time of year again. I always quiz Haley, and she doesn't guess correctly, but it's that time of year to sign up for MinSure. And
actually, you're right. It is. It's November. It's open enrollment, right?
Yeah. So, Haley, what's that website to help all our relatives out there?
Yes. So if you're not sure what type of health insurance you're going to need going into this next year, you can head over to MinSure.org, and they will help you find an affordable plan that best fits your needs.
Wow. MinSure.com, right?
Yeah.
.org.
MinSure.com. Is it a .org? I thought it was a .org. Okay. Yeah.
I'm sure the Googles will help, but just put that out in front for everyone.
Yeah. Also, some people don't know how to navigate that website very well. And so one of the things they can do is they can also come to the Native American Community Clinic or another community health center within the Twin Cities or in the state of Minnesota. And those of you who live in Western Wisconsin or Woodbury, I kind of call them, they're the same thing. you can go to a community health center, and they'll help you enroll, and they'll help you get enrolled in health insurance. It's really important to have health insurance because more people are likely to go to the doctor. It's the one thing that keeps so many people from going in for routine care. And, routine care is where we catch a lot of the conditions that will end up becoming more urgent and acute later. So,
yeah, I hear that so often. I had a friend of mine who broke his collarbone, and they found out he had throat cancer. I mean, and they would never have found that out. You know, things like that. You hit that right on, Dr. Stately. Hey, we got a minute left, and I know there's friends of mine out there that are getting COVID again. There's an update. I think I'm not sure if it was the state where I read, or they're giving out free test kits again. And I think it's really important.
Yeah. Especially
this time of year.
You can look it up on the internet. There's Minnesota is giving all your free test kits again. You can sign up for them online, and they'll arrive in the mail. I ordered some last week from Amazon. They arrived in a couple of days. And it's really important to do that because it is going around. It is very, very contagious. And, myself, I've had it. A couple other family members have had it. I've had no people that have gotten it. It's not going to necessarily make you as sick, perhaps. But one true fact, Minnesota and across the country, Native people continue to have the highest rate of infections, highest rate of hospitalizations, and the highest rate of death. And the majority number of the people who are dying are over the age of 65. So our elders, the people that have our knowledge about our language and our culture, these are important things to preserve. So do your part by getting a vaccine and also wearing a mask when you're indoors and there are people who are vulnerable.
Absolutely. That's a great way to end it. Dr. Stately, really, really appreciate you coming in. We have a lot of fun, but you know, there's a lot of seriousness in our actions, and you do a great job, and your community clinic is the gold standard across the country. So I really appreciate you stopping on. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
And free Leonard Peltier.
Now.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You are listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Timeout.
Oh, bro.